not used to doing this sitting by myself in the studio. It's Blair and Barker for a Monday. We are a couple of weeks away from opening day. And a little cool this morning. A little snow over the weekend. A little rain. Apparently, we're going to hit a balmy high of 7 or something like that today. Wonder what the weather's like in Florida. Let's go to our Florida correspondent, shall we? Kevin Barker, co-host of this show. Oh, that's disgusting. It's sunny. For those of you who can't see it in TV, it's sunny. Barker's in a pink shirt. The teeth are blinding. I mean, you look like $1 million, my friend. Obviously, you hate being in Florida. You'd rather be here in our lovely Toronto studio beside me.
Seriously, for a guy like myself who's trying to get as many ratings as possible to our show, you've sure come on and you know, busted on my shirt and my beautiful.
You look good. No, you look good, man.
You know, I brush my teeth at night. I brush my teeth in the morning. That's it. Like it's a normal, you know, upkeeping of the teeth.
And you look good.
If I can do that to bring a few more ratings to our show and come down here. Now, is it beautiful in Florida? Not really. And this is, I told you, you know, why I'm not a big fan of spring training in Florida. You know, is it better than where you're sitting? Absolutely. Is it, you know, what it should be in Florida in spring training when you're coming from where I came from? Probably not. You know, I was expecting a little warmer. It's not. It's windy. I do have a nice shirt on. I have short sleeves on. I actually have shorts on. So I'm manning up to do Omen's work and bring as much as I can possibly bring to our show. And hopefully people like it. It is beautiful. Joey Votto actually just quit running in the outfield here, taking some batting practice. So I got to watch that. I got to have about a 5-minute conversation with Joey. You know, it's
in the best shape of his life, I've been told.
Not true. I did not ask that because that's a dumb question to ask a 40-year-old. But I have had a, you know, a quick conversation about what it would take. And he's got 14 days left here.
Right.
It's not like he's got, in my mind, he's not coming here to make a team. You're either thinking that, you know, he's capable of giving you a quality at bat. He can contribute. It does sound like, I didn't ask him, and I will ask sooner than later, about would he be willing to go to Buffalo in April to wear the Toronto Blue Jays uniform sometime this season. And he shook his head sort of like, yeah, I'm up for that, depending on how this 14 days go and how quickly. But I did ask, are you willing to play sooner than later? He seems to think that maybe tomorrow.
Wow.
So hopefully we see Joey Votto on the field tomorrow in live action. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
I don't know if you had a chance to ask Joey Votto this, and for those of you who are otherwise occupied this weekend, the Jays did sign Joey Votto to a minor league contract with an invitation to spring training, and Joey Votto said all the right things in his media availability. I think it's most of us look at this and can't imagine. I can't imagine, Kevin, what it would take for Joey Votto not to be with this team a week or 2 weeks into the season. I can see him maybe starting the year AAA or an extended spring. But realistically, I mean, look, this is a guy, we know the numbers. We know the track record when it comes to injuries. But you pointed this out. It's a dude who hit 14 home runs in like 65 games last year. And it's a guy who hit .283 with runners in scoring position. Again, limited sample size, but that would be... 283 would have put him third in the Blue Jays with runners in scoring position. So I guess what I'm saying here is whatever Joey Votto can give me, I don't know if he can be a difference maker here, but I think he can give me a chance to come through in certain situations.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. Yeah, no, I have talked to some the little time I've been here. Today, I have talked to some coaches that are around this team a lot, and I asked, what can Joey bring? Like, he's 40. What's the expectations here? And I got a couple of grown-up in the room conversations. Now, I rolled my eyes and said, this is not hockey. I mean, I know as soon as I would say this to
Justin Turner growing up enough for everybody, Kevin Gausman growing up enough for everybody, Bo Bichette growing up enough for everybody. God, I hope that's not a reason. I really, on the list of reasons I want Joey Votto in my team, leadership is like 165th.
I think you might be in the minority. I do think the conversations at the end of the season, they seem to think that they need some grown-ups in the room. I rolled my eyes and said, I think you need better at-bats with a dude standing second. Like, they didn't have those last year. And Joey, you know, I watched his batting practice. You asked me on Friday what I'd like to see. I played with Joey. I saw the same batting practice today about, 45 minutes ago that I saw in 2008, I think it was, 2009, when I played with Joey in the big leagues with the Reds, the back spinning it to the left center field, hitting home runs to right center. I didn't see him pull the ball down the right field line. I didn't see him late enough that he's hitting little lollipop fly balls to left field. You know, it looks like he's the same old Joey. I think perfect scenario is he could play a little first. He can DH. He'll give you somewhere in that range of, say, 250 at-bats. Hopefully those are more quality than a 40-year-old at-bat. I mean, there has to be a little bit of that. You know, I think Justin Turner has to play a little bit more third probably than what they expected. What can IKF give you offensively? Don't know me. Like, this is sort of what they're trying to you know, all sort of piece together here to give, you know, some better at-bats. I will think this. Just from what the people that I've talked to, I think obviously they are that defensive first, saving runs. I think they're trying to think that too. But I think they're a lot more offense this year. Like, they know because of what the Yankees have done, what the Orioles are, the Rays with the underground city, the Red Sox are going to outscore them. Like, you know, you can beat them because of the pitching staff that they have, but they're going to score a bunch of runs. You're going to have to do those kind of things. I think they're thinking now you're going to have to put grown-ups on the field that can give you a quality of bat when it matters the most. And for whatever reason, I think they didn't think they had enough of that last year, and that's why Joey is here. I still have a little bit of, he's 40. Can he really give you? But the conversation that I just had with him when he was walking here, you know, it was more of, I haven't seen him in forever. Will he remember me? And he walked up and said, hey, Bark, how you doing? Gave me a hug. You know, it was sort of a good icebreaker. And he looked like he was supposed to look, and he sounds like he's supposed to sound coming here. Like, it just seems like he's buying into, Jeff, let's be honest, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
They talk differently than everybody else does. He talked like I would be talking if I was coming here late trying to help a contending team go where they ultimately want to go. So, you know, it's nice. It's a nice conversation. So hopefully he stays healthy. Hopefully we see. But I will believe it when I see it that he is willing to go to Buffalo in April to play baseball games to become a Toronto Blue Jay. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, again, I you know, I think we need to hear a little more from Ross Atkins about how this worked out. Clearly, from what Joey has said, it really does sound as if it was Joey who kind of pushed his own case here. It sounds as if it was more, initiated by him than the Blue Jays. But, I am with you in this regard. I just have a difficult time. I just have a difficult time seeing him not on this team.
Yeah, remember,
2 weeks into the season.
Joey was sending out tweets of him sitting on park benches.
Yeah. Like,
he's ready to play baseball. His childhood dream was, I'm assuming, because he always wanted to be a baseball player, is to play for his team that he rooted for, which is Toronto Blue Jays. And again, it sounds like, and this is not, like, this is a nice, and this will be a great story if he comes here, gives them 250 at bats, and there's a lot of quality at bats in there. It'll be fun to watch. So, fingers crossed, you're a Jays fan.
Yeah.
If this works out, and it just seems like they're trying to put the best product offensively they can possibly run out there, because they understand two things. They were not real good at it last year, and the other teams in the American League East are really good, at least the two behemoths that are above them, and they're going to have to score runs and get off to a good start, and I think they understand that.
Yeah, thank God spring training stats don't mean anything. Otherwise, we'd be talking about the Orioles' 14-2 record so far in spring training and how all of their young dudes look really good. We'll get back to that in a minute. 107 will be the first pitch today on Sportsnet, the Jays, and on the website. The Jays are in Port Charlotte to take on the Rays. Kevin Biggio, Danny Jansen, Daniel Vogelbach, Davis Schneider, Nathan Lucas, Eduardo Escobar, Spencer Horowitz, Ernie Clement, Cam Eden, the starting lineup. Mitch White continues to make his bid to earn a spot on this team. Look, I thought it was interesting hearing John Schneider talk on Sunday about Daniel Vogelbach and how he's already had a conversation with Daniel Vogelbach. I mean, Daniel Vogelbach can put two and two together and come up with $4 million. As well as anybody can. But you kind of scared me a little bit earlier when you talked about Justin Turner playing third base. Like, it seems we don't, I think we're under the assumption that second base is going to be some sort of Franken platoon with Biggio and maybe, and Davis Schneider. I mean, Santiago Espinal kind of figures in there, Ernie Clement as well. Man, Kevin, I just don't want Justin Turner playing third base. I Justin Turner's here to hit cleanup for me. That's all I want. I don't want him in the field. He's here to hit cleanup. If I have to play him at first base, I can do that. But Justin Turner at third base really sounds like Plan C to me.
Yeah, I think you're looking for something to complain about. That's what I think.
Justin Turner at third base, I'm willing to complain about that. Yeah.
You know what you should be thinking about is trying to get the best lineup on the field every single day. And if that means Justin Turner has to play, say, I don't want to say 5 days a week at third, two or 3 days occasionally a week to get Joey Votto or whoever else the lefty is in there or whoever else offensively is doing some things that can help this team score more runs. You're looking at 5 runs per game is what they sort of need to score to take some pressure off the rotation and the bullpen and John and Pete Walker to just be able to sort of get out of the way and let them kind of do their thing. So I like that part. Like, if that's the way it is, Justin Turner's not going to kill their team defensively. Like, all the time trying to push, run prevention on fans in the American League East. I mean, let's be honest. That'll work sometimes. It's not going to work all the time. And I think they understand that. And they understand that they need to put a better lineup and a better product just when it comes to, it's not a hockey team. I'm not going to say grown up in the room. But just that, it's me against you. I think I'm better, and I'll have a better approach, and I'll have a better plan. And a lot of the times, I'm going to hit the ball, and it's going to go where I want it to go. We're going to score more runs because of it. And I think that's what they're trying to do by adding Joey and putting Justin and Vogelbach's here. And say Joey's in AAA for a little while, and Justin has to play a little third. I don't care. Like, I'm in that camp that I don't care. I want to see better offense to American League. I want to see thumpers. I want to see, poking out of your chest and scoring some more runs, and I think they need to do that sometimes. Not all the time, because you still need to catch the ball, and Justin's old. He can tell you that, too. He can't do that all the time, so I'm on that camp. Not your camp, just yet.
The Jays played a couple of split squad games yesterday, Sunday. Lost 11-6 to the Baltimore Orioles. Tied 6-6 with the Orioles. Love me some spring training ties. Saturday, he beat the Phillies 13-5. Ricky Tiedem in an inning and a third. Gave up a home run, 16 strikes and 26 pitches. Friday, the Jays beat the Yankees 2-1. Chris Bassitt tossed 4 innings. And as we mentioned, the Jays will take on the Tampa Bay Rays today. Kevin Barker down in Florida, in Dunedin, just got down there yesterday. So, Kevin, I won't ask you about the performance from Yusei Kikuchi yesterday. 2 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 home runs allowed.
Spring training. My buddy likes to say.
Exactly. Stats don't matter. Chad Green, 2/3 of an inning pitched, gave up a home run. The home run, I believe, came in a curveball. We talked about this a little bit before you went down there. Chad Green, as of right now, has a, I would argue, maybe the second most important role in this bullpen other than Jordan Romano. What do the Jays need to see from him in these final 2 weeks? So he's going to make the team, but he has not had a great spring. You talked about the curveball, really been there. He did manage to throw some nice pitches up in the zone yesterday, which you're going to need to see. But is there in your mind any concern about the bullpen at this point? Like, we've talked about starting pitching being a strength, obviously. Pitching in general is strength. Could you see the bullpen becoming a concern?
Well, I mean, we talk about the rotation, but when you're starting to have conversations because a couple of guys may not start the season, you're talking about Mitch White and Bowden Francis, right? Probably getting some quality starts there. You know, quality early in the season. You got to get off to a good start. We see what the Orioles look like. You know, the Yankees are going to, for me anyway, be one of the better teams in the American League. You're going to have to get off to a decent start. It starts with your rotation. Yeah, the bullpen, look, Chad Green, I you have to ask yourself, what's the expectations? Is it punch outs? Is it thrown to the meat of the order in the eighth inning? Is it sort of massaging him into things in the sixth and seventh inning against the bottom of the order? Like, what is the things here? The people that I've talked to, it's gloves off. Like, he's getting the ball. If he's the eighth inning guy, he's getting the ball. If, you know, if Jordan Romano's pitched 2 or 3 days in a row early on, he'll get some ninth inning spots where if it's the top of the order against the Orioles and it's got a couple of lefties in there, he's getting it. Curveball better be better. Like, that unpredictability, the late break, the tunneling, the velocity, like, he just can't throw the ball down the middle anymore. He ain't that, for me, the Yankee that he used to be 3 or 4 years ago, where I'm going to give it to you, you can't hit it. I just don't think he's that guy. He's got to have a little trickery in his game. The location has to be much better. When he throws up, it's got to be almost perfect. And Is that a concern? Yeah, it's a concern. Like, it's, you want those guys, because he's a veteran dude. He knows what doesn't feel right and how to correct it quicker than other dudes do. And for whatever reason, the breaking ball's just not breaking. Just don't have a bite to it. Like, that's a thing. He can't be a one pitch guy. I mean, just don't throw hard enough anymore to do that consistently. So, yeah, it's a concern. I'm sure Pete Walker and all the khakis that are around the Blue Jays are going to figure out ways and what time and how much and, you know, to get the best out of Chad Green that they can possibly get out of him. And every game matters. Like, there's no conversation about it's early. Like, when you got the lead late in the game, you got to hand it to the right guy. And you can't have a lot of room for wiggle and a lot of room for mistake. And they got to correct that and fix it quickly. Eric Swanson's going to help. Excuse me. He looks good. Like, I had a quick conversation with him. It looks like mentally he's there with what he's been through. And, you know, they'll give him the ball. He'll get some eighth and ninth innings. So they do have some room for wiggle there with experience, which is a big deal this time of the year. They need those guys that they can count on and get some good teams. So this gets back to 4 more runs. Like, this will – a lot of this we won't have to have conversations about. If they're scoring runs, like, act like you've been there. Dudes that we expect to be really good offensively, if they're good offensively, I don't think we'll have a lot of concern, a lot of conversation about the bullpen, because, you know, every pitch will matter the way it mattered last year. So, you know, again, concern I don't think is the right word. It's more of urgency to fix it and figure out how to fix it. He's got to get the ball. They gave him money to get the ball. They're going to give it to him, but I don't think they'll be afraid to give it to other people if he can't figure it out.
So now that you're down there, what do you want to see? Now, I'm not talking about what do you want to see in terms of performance, but if I gave you 3 things you're going to look for starting today when you're down at the complex, 3 things, 3 people, just 3 themes, let's say that, 3 themes that you would be focusing on down there, what would they be?
Well, I think the obvious one is Gausman and Manoah. Now, you know, we'd heard how Manoah had corrected some things with his conditioning in the offseason. I have not seen that up close and personal until I walked up here and saw him. He walked right by me, said hi, going to PFP. So, I mean, those PFPs are the biggest waste of 40 minutes that you could ever give a pitcher in spring training. I mean, they're lollipopping balls, and it's basically just get the bones loose. But to see how, you know, up close, man, it looks good. Like, from what I remember him looking like at the end of when I saw him last year to now, man, it's like night and day difference. Now, will that translate to the domino that we saw a couple years ago? Who has any idea? But it ain't going to hurt. So, man, that looks good. Like, he just looked like he's supposed to look as a big leaguer. Good for him. He's taking care of all that. Now we can erase that part of the opinion just to do that and come out and throw strike one, be better with the sinker, throwing quality pitches to a bunch of good left-handed hitters in the American League East. So fingers crossed that happens. The Gausman thing, when will that happen? When will he be ready? That's another thing, right? It's the 75 pitches before he actually goes to a legit big league game. When are we going to see that? He's talking like a couple of those before we actually see him pitching to a bunch of really good big league hitters when it matters. Who knows? So that'll be another thing. The Joey Votto thing, that's one. When will he be in a game? That's one of those. And sort of the other part of it, I just don't think there is some of it. Vladdy looks like they have an approach now. Vladdy, I think it was yesterday, he gets it back with bases loaded. He takes a couple pitches away, hits the ball in, hits the ball hard, they score two runs. That's the way it's supposed to look. You see, you know, other guys, George Springer's looking for balls to pull. That may be part of the Rogers Center effect. We have Bo Bichette on. It's a thing in the room to where they're thinking about, you know, not hitting the ball up the middle to right center. Looks like they have a little better approach. So there's three things. The couple of guys in the rotation that we know in Manoah Gausman, Joey Votto, when will he play, how it look? You know, will he go to Buffalo in April to be a Blue Jay? Fingers crossed, maybe he doesn't have to. That's one. The other one is continue to have an approach when you're in the middle of the order. Stick with it. You're going to live and die. I'm not that guy because of my age and because of the way the Rogers Center plays that can go to right center up the middle. So approaches, two guys in the rotation, and Joey Votto. There's just three things.
How many – I don't know if you had a chance to ask Joey this. How many at-bats do you think he needs to be ready for the season? You know, pitchers have – tend to build up to a certain pitch count. I don't know. It depends. I've talked to hitters. Some guys need, they'll give you a number of at-bats they need. Some guys, it's more a matter of feel than actual numbers of at-bats or plate appearances. I don't know if Joey said to you or gave you an idea of how many he needs. What would you think he'd need, realistically?
Yeah, I've asked Coach,
there's 2 weeks left, right?
There's 14 games left, 14
right.
days. I've asked coaches about that. He was facing Barroa in some side session. It was more about, I think, seeing pitches. It's not about at-bats. It's
right.
more about timing of me getting my foot down, and if I want to swing at it and put my A swing on it, I can. That's the thing is, I just don't know how they're going to judge Joey to the highest degree to put him on this team. How will you do that? Like, I just don't know. I mean, you can't hook up a machine that will tell you that a 40-year-old Joey Votto is ready to come out.
Well, maybe they can. Maybe they can. They do have the hitting lab. You never know.
I mean, I guess. But I just don't know. Do they have a 40-year-old hitting lab?
Sure, they do someplace.
I'm sure there's an age limit to that lab. Like, I don't want to keep harping on his
right.
age.
No, but it's.
But he is 40. Like, yeah. You know, just the bat speed, the lanes that your barrel's supposed to go in are not going to go there because of your age, because of just, it's just the fast twitch muscles that you used to have at, say, 35 are just not there at 40. So how do you judge him? Is it the quality of bat? Because is it not the outcome of the at bat? I just don't know. Does he have to go to in season, have those at bats before you can actually say that's the Joey we want to see? And just because it's been brought up to me from coaches, and you've actually heard Joey say out loud that he'd be willing to go to the minor leagues to get those at bats, I think that's probably what you'll have to see. I just don't think there's a number. They judge you differently now than they've ever judged you. It's not performance driven anymore. It's who knows what it is. And I have not been here long enough to ask that question. And that will be a question I want to ask, because I don't have an answer for that. I don't know what the answer is, because I think there are a lot of these guys are in your camp that minor league or camp doesn't matter when it comes to, you know, what the outcome is. So how do you, those guys are on the bubble. How do you judge them? Like the Yarnick Clements of the world and Santiago Espinals and the guys that are trying to make teams, you throw Joey Votto in there. So, Yeah, I don't think it's a number. I think it's something that we just don't know what it is yet. But I will come up with that answer, and I will have a better answer for you sooner than later.
I know you will. Kevin, we're going to let you scoot and do a little bit of more work today. Thanks for doing this. I look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow. And
absolutely.
Yeah, stay out of the sun. I'll worry.
Well, I'm in the shade, so it is a little windy as usual in Florida.
Yeah.
And it does have a little bite in the air.
Oh, it does. It looks like there's a bite in the air. I think I saw somebody go by with 3/4 length sleeves. Yeah, it looks awful. I feel bad for you.
I feel a little different than these guys are, so I will usually wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
And I like color, and it's harder to find color in longer sleeves. So I will man up and do what I have to do to get people to tune into our show. Unlike some people that I know who wear, I don't know what color that shirt is. I can't
sweater.
Tell because it's really, really a dark
it's
color.
A sweater. It's a sweater. What do you want me to do? You want me to come in wearing like a lime green shirt today and look like a lemon pop or something like that?
That's only for me. But you could wear, you know, something with a little bit more color to it. Be a little happier. You
I know, am happy. I just don't want Justin don't Turner pulling his hamstring at third base or popping something else at third base. I'm happy.
Boy, you're way overthinking it. Oh. You're way overthinking it.
That does happen. With advanced age comes wisdom. And the more wisdom you have, the more you tend to overthink things. You'll get there eventually. Trust me.
I'm a jump in the deep end right away, guys. So
I know
I don't
you are.
Know what that means.
Go yeah. jump, Barker. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. See you guys later.
See ya. Kevin Barker, our Florida correspondent. And Mr. Barker will be around the Blue Jays for 2 weeks. I mean, this is real. Opening day is really, really closing in. It's March 11th. Again, we'll have Blue Jays baseball for you at 107 today from Port Charlotte. I believe Port Charlotte is where the Rays are. Biggio, Jansen, Vogelbach, Schneider, Lucas, Escobar, Horowitz, Clement, Eden, Mitch White on the mound for the Blue Jays. The Jays, busy weekend, 11-6 loss to Baltimore, 6-6 tie with Baltimore. I love tie games in spring training. 13-5 win over the Phillies on Saturday, and a 2-1 win over the Yankees on Friday. So Joey Votto's return to the major leagues on a non-roster invite with the Blue Jays is a big story. It's not just a big story in Toronto, but it's a big story of some national consequence. And one of the very best national baseball writers out there, Jason Stark of The Athletic, rolled into Dunedin yesterday and spent the day with Joey Votto, walking from field to field, drill to drill. He got some terrific insight from Joey Votto. He'll join us to talk about that. We'll take a look around the majors as well. I will ask Jason, again, spring training numbers don't mean anything, yada, yada, et cetera, but folks, the Baltimore Orioles are 14-2, and all their young guys look about as good as we thought they would. Jason Stark joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I don't know if you would file this under Schadenfreude. I mean, I hate to sort of look at it. Player's injury, potential injury, as being a positive, but in this case, it certainly could have a major impact on the American League East and, by extension, the Toronto Blue Jays. Reports out of Tampa today that Gerrit Cole is undergoing an MRI on his pitching elbow. And, yes, the words Tommy and John did immediately pop into my head again. No indication, though, as of yet, that it's anything other than a routine exam. Although MRI, elbow, he seldom a good thing. Let's put it that way. And considering the fact that the Blue Jays play the Yankees in the third series of the year. Remember, they start the season on the road. They're in Tampa. They're in Houston and New York. They're already not going to see Justin Verlander of the Astros. And if there is a chance at all that Gerrit Cole needs to be shut down or that he's put back or whatever, that might mean that the Jays would miss Gerrit Cole in New York as well. I mean, again, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. That's 3 weeks away. But that is the breaking news out of Yankees camp. Gerrit Cole undergoing an MRI or scheduled to undergo an MRI. Let's bring in Jason Stark of The Athletic. Jason, thanks for joining me today. Barker's down in Florida. It's just me. I want to talk about Joey Gallo joining the Blue Jays in a minute. But I wanted to ask you about the look, again, the usual caveat. Neither of us are doctors, but Gerrit Cole and MRI, but there's got to be some candle lighting going on right now at George at Steinbrenner Field, man.
Yeah, okay. If you're going to make your list of most important players in the entire AL East, where would Gerrit Cole be? One? Can't be lower than three, can he? Look at their staff and tell me there's any level of certainty about any member of it other than him.
Right. No. I mean, Pete Caldera, further details on this, just said that Gerrit Cole has been experiencing trouble recovering between starts, more in line with how a regular season start feels. It's been, quote, more of a challenge to bounce back. So, yeah. I love watching Gerrit Cole pitch. You know, the game's better when Gerrit Cole is on the mound. But,
right.
You know, that's, again, they're going to be following that MRI result, certainly in the American League East and around baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, we can't jump to any conclusions until you hear the news. You can find your mind traveling to all sorts of different places that might never be real. Mm-hmm. But it just, look, you've covered baseball. I've covered baseball many years. And when you're in spring training and you're typing a sentence that says, fill in the name of the star player, is going for an MRI, that's a huge story, and with the potential to get even huger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at with this one right now. I just talked to Gerrit Cole for a story about the greatest starting pitching contracts ever. He's gotten through 4 years of a 9-year deal with an option for a 10th.
Yeah.
And he takes incredible pride in finding a way to assume workload, to get out there every 5 days, to log innings. We got into a debate about how many starts he's actually missed since he started this contract. In 4 years, I thought the number was three because he had two because of COVID protocols, and then a third with a hamstring. He was very vehement in trying to argue with me that the hamstring one, he never actually missed a start. He left early because of it. He might have been pushed back a couple days, but his thing is, I want the number of starts that I make every year to begin with a three, like 30 to 33. And he'd done that. Mm-hmm. So he felt like it was only two. This just tells you about his mindset. He understands that's what aces do, Jeff. And so going to get an MRI on his elbow on March the 11th, stay tuned. This is the potential to alter the face of the entire division.
Blake Snell's been awfully active in social media lately. I promise you I'll get to Joey Gallo / Votto. But Blake Snell's been awfully active in social media lately, you know, Instagramming the I meme. What are you hearing on him? Are you hearing anything on Blake Snell? I mean, he Instagrammed a picture that I think was taken in Boston just this morning, so people are putting two and two together. You hearing anything at all?
He's a source of incredible fascination in the industry, because Scott Boras is out there throwing around the C word, collusion, and people in the sport, including other agents, find that hilarious, because this is not a situation in which I think collusion describes the slow Garrett Cole market. I'm sorry, Blake Snell market.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where it couldn't be more obvious that the price point placed on the player by the agent does not match the way the industry values him. Everybody would love to have Blake Snell on their team. Maybe not everybody, but you could put together a long list of teams that would be happy to employ Blake Snell, but not at 8 years, $240 million, or that neighborhood. And that's what he was promised, is what I'm hearing. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a shorter deal. The issue is there are big problems with signing Blake Snell on a one-year deal, and it's stopping teams like the Yankees from getting this done on the Cody Bellinger plan, because he was offered a qualifying offer by the Padres, which means he comes with draft pick compensation attached. And if you're in the wrong tax bracket, like the Yankees are in or the Phillies are in, there are other ramifications too, where you're losing picks, you're being bumped backwards in terms of where you pick. There are implications on your international signing pool. And then if you sign them to a one-year deal, or even a deal with a one-year opt-out, you cannot get a comp pick the next year,
mm-hmm.
as the Padres would get this year. And so I don't – like the Red Sox make sense because they just lost Lucas Giolito. The Yankees could make sense if they lose Garrett Cole. But it's just hard to figure out what's the contract going to be.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see how it turns out, because well, you can say whatever you want about Scott Boras. He got this one wrong. He isn't wrong much, but this is one of those times, Jeff.
All right, let's talk about Joey Votto. You got to spend a day with Joey Votto yesterday. I've tweeted out a link to the article. The article is tremendous. But explain the Joey Gallo reference to me, which immediately got my attention, of course.
Yeah, me too. So, I know Joey quite well, and he was very cool about letting me kind of follow him around all day yesterday. And that was so much fun, because I wouldn't just get to watch. I'd get to, hear, have him stop by and chit-chat with me as he was going to his next thing. But anyway, the most telling thing that he did was go take live batting practice for the first time with the Blue Jays against a bunch of minor league pitchers. So at one point he's back there on field five, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
and he's facing a guy, I'll admit, I've never heard of him. This right-handed pitcher named Eric Pardinho.
Yep.
So mostly he's just standing there, he's tracking pitches, he's not swinging, but now they're giving him the count. They tell him it's 1-2, and he swings through a fastball from Eric Pardinho, and this guy, he runs off the field, and he tells everybody, "I just struck out Joey Gallo." that's not quite the same thing as striking out Joey Votto, is it?
No.
I looked up Eric Pardinho. It turns out he's from Brazil. So here's what I learned. Apparently, Joey Votto, not quite as big a household name in Brazil as he is in Canada. That's safe to assume?
Yes. Eric Pardinho, actually. Eric Pardinho has been a bit of a prospect in this organization for a while. But,
yeah,
that is that is truly a funny story. You know, look, I've covered two. I call them victory laps, and I'm not saying that to take away anything from Joey Votto. But when I covered the Montreal Expos, I covered Gary Carter's return to the team the final season. that went a lot better than, I mean, I can remember guys in the clubhouse at the start were going, oh, geez, I mean, this is, we just really don't need this. That went okay. At the end of the year, everybody basically, no harm, no foul. Everybody was happy. Omar Vizquel's victory lap here, I mean, after knifing John Farrell in the back and, you know, after John Farrell going to the front office and asking him to be released and the front office not doing it, you know, Omar Vizquel was here when Yunel Escobar took the field with the eye black with the homophobic slurs on it. And Omar Vizquel kind of said, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing to us guys as it means to everybody. I, you know, it was just a disaster. These things don't always work out. How do you think this is going to work out? Now, again, I'm not comparing necessarily Joey to Gary Carter. That was different. Carter was returning after being away, you know, franchise player, franchise icon, et cetera, et cetera. How do you see this working out?
Well, there's nothing to lose. Nothing. Okay. It's a minor league deal with no guarantees with a guy who has already agreed to go to Buffalo and earn it. And on that basis, I'm really excited about it. I get the impression the Blue Jays dug in long and hard on why Joey has had the issues he's had the last couple of years. And they came to the conclusion that he was hurt last year. He came back too soon. I think he could make an easy case that he came back too soon twice. And that's not going to happen this time. For one thing, he's healthy. He had a normal off season. And so there's not the same level of him being behind that you had last year with the Reds. Mm. Second thing is that they're just such an excellent high-performance team with the Jays that they'll be on top of everything physically that he may encounter. So that's a big part of it. Here's the rest. I think Joey Votto fits the category for me of less is more. And if you look at the way the Blue Jays line up, there's no need for him to play a lot. But if you send him up in the seventh inning to take a big at bat, don't you have a total assurance the at bat's going to go well? It'll be a tough at bat. It'll be a great process. So I think he fits on that end. He hits left-handed. I think he obviously fits from that standpoint. He brings a lot to the clubhouse because he's a great person, incredibly smart and thoughtful at a level that really matches nobody else in the game. There's so much upside from that perspective. And you might have noticed he's from Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. So
thank you for reminding me.
There's just so much potential PR upside.
Yeah.
The only downside is, what if he's not good? What if it doesn't go well? How is he going to handle it? I'm certain they had this conversation with him as I did, and he gets it. He doesn't want to stink, Jeff. So I love the whole thing. I hope it works.
Jason, we're going to let you run, man. Really appreciate your time, as always. A terrific article, terrific look at Joey Votto. It was a lot of fun. Those are days, man, when you're a reporter at spring training, there's some days that just that you remember for a long time, and my sense is that's probably going to be one of them for you. Thanks for doing this, man.
Exactly right. All right, great to talk to you, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
Jason Stark of The Athletic, and I've tweeted out a link to the article. It's just a lot of fun. And look, you know, I've got to call him up in sportsnet.ca. I just, the only wrinkle in this, I guess, is that it's pretty clear that Joey Votto's main competition is Daniel Vogel. Actually, let me rephrase that. It's pretty clear that Daniel Vogelbach's main competition is Joey Votto. And look, as I said in my column today, I can't get into a whole Joey Votto versus Daniel Vogelbach debate for the last spot in the roster. I just can't. If gets you energized one way or another, great. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's just no debate. There's no debate there. I find it interesting that it seems as if Joey Votto was the one who really pushed this, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. Jason touched on something that we've kind of mentioned on this show, and I think maybe not enough, and that is the work of the Jays High Performance Department. Look, I've been as guilty as anybody, or I was as guilty as anybody in the past of kind of rolling my eyes at a lot of the stuff we heard out of the Jays High Performance Department. I mean, they've got a million massage therapists and the whole thing. This organization spends a ton of money on support staff and medical staff and everything, and that's good. But I mean, I look back at when, you know, Kendrys Morales was here and there was the whole kettlebell thing and he wrenched his back and people were going, why are you doing all this stuff? But if you fast forward, the Jays high performance department in recent years, certainly last year, did a terrific job of keeping George Springer healthy, did a terrific job of getting those starting pitchers through. And keep in mind, again, what happened to the Jays rotation last year. You know, at one point, these guys were going on short rest because of the Alek Manoah situation. And the Jays used, I believe, fewer starting pitchers. There may have been one other team that used as few starting pitchers as the Jays did. We know that when Shohei Ohtani talked to the Blue Jays, one of the things his people came away being impressed about was the Jays high performance department and the labs they had in Dunedin. So hearing Jason say that, you know, it makes me think that I'm sure Joey Votto did his due diligence when it came to this as well. So yeah, listen, I think, hey, if Joey Votto breaks Larry Walker's record for hits by a Canadian player and he's what, 26 hits away from doing it, it's going to be a great moment. The fact that he's going to do it in his hometown in a Blue Jays uniform, it's going to be a great moment. I don't see any downside to this. Joey Votto is not blocking any prospect from getting playing time. And again, 283 with runners in scoring position. I don't know. Can he do that again this year? I have no idea. But I'm willing to give a guy who can give me that type of at bat late in the game, I'm willing to give him a look. And yeah, I would like to see the other things happen to this lineup. Unlike Kevin Barker, I think they need to make a move at third base. I don't think you can get by with what they have at third base. You got to find a balance between defense and offense. I just don't think they have it at third base right now. So there's still some issues with this team, but my goodness. Joey Votto joining the Blue Jays, I failed to see the downside. You know, it was interesting. There was a time, you know, I remember talking to people around the Cincinnati Reds. There was a time where, of course, anytime you talk to Joey Votto, you'd ask Joey Votto, hey, do you ever foresee yourself finishing your career in Toronto, right? Any, as Joey Votto got older, trade deadline. What about the Jays making a move for Joey Votto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for the longest time, you kind of got the impression that Joey was happy to be in Cincinnati and he would just as soon stay in Cincinnati and he didn't feel any great desire, any great need to come to Toronto and play for the Blue Jays. There's a, you know, Cincinnati for a baseball player, you got a nice balance of anonymity and adulation. Get the adulation when you're in the ballpark. You can kind of get a little bit of anonymity when you're out and about in the city. I mean, that's just the way Cincinnati is. You're not going to have that anonymity in Toronto. So for the longest time, there was a thought out there that Joey Votto may not want to return to Toronto, that he was happy to finish his career elsewhere. But clearly, at this stage of his career, Joey Votto decided that he would like to get a shot at playing in his hometown at a time when expectations are going to be limited. In a lot of ways, for Joey Votto, this is the perfect time to do this because most smart people aren't expecting a great deal out of him. Most smart people just want him to contribute. Most smart people are going to be cheering for him. So this is a perfect time for Joey Votto to kind of have this experience. And I'm with Barker. You know, the whole adult in the room thing. I mean, you know, whatever. I don't think anybody's going to change the way they play because they have Joey Votto in the room. But it's a good story. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? What the hell? If Joey Votto can sell some jerseys, break the Canadian record, like I said, hit 270, 275 with runners in scoring position, hit 10 home runs for me, I'm fine with that. That's it for us today. A reminder, if you're listening to us via podcast, please rate and review. Kevin Barker will be back with us tomorrow from Florida. 107 today, Blue Jays baseball, Jays in Tampa. Have yourself a great day.